the same passage we began with this morning, Psalm 73, and we're going to read verses 23 to verse 28. In verse 23 we read, "Nevertheless I am continually with thee, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for seeing us through this past year. We thank you that we know that you will be with us in the year to come, no matter what comes. And we just pray you'd help us, Lord, as we look forward and some bit with concern and apprehension and wonder. Just pray that you would help us to draw nigh to you so that we might be able to handle whatever comes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if the year 2020 has taught us anything, I think it is that we cannot predict what is going to happen next. I think if one of us was to invent a time machine now and go back a year from today and tell our past self all that has gone on this year, our past selves probably would not believe what we had to say. Or if we were able to bring our past selves forward in time to see what life is like right now, I think they would have a hard time believing that so much had changed in such a short time. We think back of how in January and February things were going on fairly normally. We heard some rumblings of a virus in China, but figured it was far away from us, not a significant concern. But since March, everything has changed, and we've been dealing not only with this virus, but with the fallout of that, politically, economically, and so much of it is so far beyond what we could have ever expected or predicted. And we can try with this year that's ahead of us now to make some predictions, which may have a good probability of coming to pass, but at this stage, who knows? We figure that they're going to get vaccines distributed, and once everyone's immunized, things are supposed to go back the way that it was, but who knows when and if that'll happen. We have concerns politically and economically. We don't know how all that is going to shake out. Prophetically speaking, we know that Jesus could come in this new year, and what a glory and relief that would be. But as Jesus said, no man knows of the day or the hour that he's coming back. So we don't know for sure. He said he's going to come in an hour that we think not. And so it may be he comes next year. He could even come before this day is over. Or he may, out of long suffering for the lost, tarry his coming just a bit longer to give them further opportunity to repent before he comes in judgment. And so with everything that's going on, Christ may come and deliver us from all of it. Or he may call upon us to continue on. Things might get better, things might stay as they are, or they could get much worse, and we don't know that. But the question is, are we ready for what may come? And how do we ready ourselves? And you think of it, if we're to be ready for something, there's some preparation that must be involved, right? When someone comes and say it's end of the day, and someone calls and says, "Well, supper's ready," you know that it just didn't show up on the table, right? You know that there was a lot of preparation that went into that. We especially think kind of Christmas time, and if we have any kind of big meal at Christmas, the amount of preparation that goes in. Say if you're going to cook a turkey, a lot of times if you want it for lunch, you got to wake up pretty early to get it in. And so there's all these different things, all these fixings, and it kind of That preparation begins sometimes even weeks earlier to make sure you have all the ingredients you're going to need so that then it can be all prepared, and so that then when it comes to that kind of zero hour of when lunch is supposed to be or supper or dinner, that it's ready. And so we can think of that. In order to be ready, some preparation is necessary. We can think of that too if you're if you're going to work, right? You want to show up on time. You want to show up and then be ready to work, right? And for that to happen, if you basically have your alarm set like 5 minutes before you start work, like you're probably not going to be ready for work in time, right? Because there's things that have to happen ahead of time. And so we realize that there's preparation that's necessary. And so we need to prepare for the year ahead in order to be ready for whatever will come. But this is a problem. If we don't know what's coming in the next year, how can we possibly prepare for it? We think that it is good to be prepared. That's, we remember, is the motto of the Boy Scouts, to always be prepared. And to try to think of what could happen so you're ready to face it. We think as well that it's kind of a biblical principle too. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, it says, "He, the prudent man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple is passed on and is punished." And I would think all of us would want to be that prudent person, that wise person that sees what's coming, and if it's dangerous, if it's difficult, that we take the necessary steps to get ourselves in a position of safety. We don't want to be one that just passes on without any thought and then is right in the middle of some very difficult situation. But that's the thing, that we look at this past year and we look, well, I sure didn't foresee everything that happened this year. How am I going to foresee what's going to happen next year? And I think if we had known what was coming, there was probably a lot we would have done differently, but we just didn't know. And so for this year to come, we want to be prepared, and preparation is important. But when we don't know what could happen, how can we be prepared for whatever is to come? And so we want to consider that. One option that does come to mind is, and this could be something that we might do more in our own wisdom, but we could think, okay, well, maybe what I should do is I should start running through my mind various simulations of all the possibilities of things that could happen in this year to come, right? And figure out a plan. Well, how do I respond to each of these? I recall reading a book by Chris Hadfield of his time preparing to enter space. And that was something that they did a lot of, is that they ran all these simulations of things that could go wrong so that then they would have to figure out how to solve that problem. And it actually helped them. It developed this pattern and kind of an ability to work through the problems and to respond with clear thinking rather than panic. And because especially in space, that if you panic, what can be a minor problem can end up quickly being a life or death situation. Right? And so we could think, well, maybe that's what we should do. And boy, we could run all kinds of crazy simulations of what we could do. And that's what, there's some people out there that basically they think, well, maybe the whole world is going to go crazy. And so they have like a whole cellar full of like months of food and toilet paper and ammunition and who knows what else, preparing for what is to happen. And we could think, well, maybe that's what we should do, is just have everything at hand so whatever comes that we're ready. But we realize things change and we can make plans, and we think of it even with Christmas, right? That we made different plans for Christmas based on the restrictions that are in place, and then all of a sudden the restrictions change, and so then we had to change plans. And so it is good for us to learn to discipline oneself, to remain calm when things change. But I think we recognize that things are changing so rapidly, it can be hard for us to prepare for all of that. And so I think we recognize that we need something more. So that we're not facing this new year with worry or dread or hopelessness. And as believers, we do have something more. Or rather, we have someone. And that brings us to this passage that we read this morning in Psalm 73 here. And this is a passage I went through in my personal devotions about a week ago or so. And it's certainly one I encourage you to read and study and meditate on it. Because in this passage, the writer Asaph, he's sharing a very honest and personal struggle he was having. He really kind of was seeing what was happening, and he thought, well, God's being unjust. He's letting people that are doing wrong get away with it. And he was at a point where he was just going to throw up his hands and say, what's the use of even serving the Lord? But then we see that he came, verse 17 is really the turning point. He went into the sanctuary of God, and he understood the end of those that are doing wrong. And he just really came to understand it. And so through all this, we see that he came to certain conclusions. In this section from verse 23 to the end of Psalm 73 is what we want to focus on this morning. And really, in Asaph's life, we see him recognize many different things. Things I think it's important for us to recognize and be reminded of. We see first off that he recognized God's presence in his life. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. That we think of David in Psalm 139. He said that there's no place that I can go from your presence. I could go dive into the deepest part of the sea, you'd still be there. That I could be cover myself in darkness, but the darkness is light to you. That you see everything, you're with me. That we can't be away from his presence. And God is always with us. In good times and bad, there's never a time where he abandons us. And so we can rejoice in that. And he says, nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. And I know it's something that with Lily and Joe right now, there's quite a bit of snow on the ground. And so they want to go outside, but if they're going anywhere, they pretty much always want me to be holding their hand, right? Because, especially Joe, because it's sort of, for him, if he stumbles, he can be kind of halfway covered by snow pretty quickly if he goes the wrong way. And so it's having that safety, and that's really kind of the picture that God, that we're so small and we don't know our way and we're prone to stumble, but God holds us with his right hand, that he's helping us along the way. And that's kind of the thing. A lot of times when we do stumble and fall, it's sort of what often happens with, say, a toddler who sort of wants to go their own way and is being stubborn, and they let go and then they take a tumble, right? And so we want to realize God's trying to help us. He's trying to guide us, trying to keep us on track, trying to keep us safe. But he sees verse 24 as well. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And so he recognized God was his guide through life. That God had given him his word, and it was a lamp to his feet, a light to his path, that he would have different decisions he'd have to make, and he could rely upon the revelation of God to just give him some direction, give him some wisdom in the decisions that he made, and that the Lord was really like a shepherd to him, that he was helping him to get to the right place in life. But then we see too, he says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. That it's a thing that God was going to be his guide from when he was young to when he was old, but then when he passed from this life, that he know that God would take him home, and that was an assurance that he had that of this heavenly home, that God would be with him through his life, and then he'd be with God throughout eternity. And so he recognized that as well. Verse 25, we see he recognized he had a blessed relationship with God that he enjoyed with no one else. He says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." And you can kind of think of that. You could think of it, maybe he had different loved ones that passed on before. But of course, they were gone, and he was going to come to them. They weren't going to return to him. There's not a lot that they could do to help him, right? But God himself was the one that was in heaven, was looking down, and could help him, right? He says, "There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee." That he had maybe friends and family and others, but the relationship that he had with God was like no other relationship. That God was there to help him, God, and it's something that he cherished. But we see verse 26 too, that he recognizes his own weakness. He says, "My flesh and my heart faileth." And we can think that he speaks of his flesh, that would speak physically, that there is a limitation to his strength. But he says not only his flesh, but his heart. So we can think of it, not only physically did he have limitations, also emotionally had limitations. That there were some things that it would exhaust him physically, that he just wouldn't be able to go further. But then there's points where emotionally that he'd just be broken and not be able to handle it, going through different trials and struggles. And really we see in Psalm 73, that was a lot of kind of the emotional struggle he was having, that his heart was failing because he wasn't seeing things happen the way he expected, the way that he hoped. And so he's recognizing he's struggling. But he says, "But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That he knew that he needed God's strengthening, and he knew that God would give him that emotional strength that he needed to get through these trials and troubles and disappointments and discouragements. And as well, he recognized too that God would judge the wicked righteously in his time. He says, "For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee." And so it's the thing that he knows God will exact his justice, his vengeance in his time. That earlier in the chapter he wasn't so sure about that, but now he has that absolute confidence. And it's the idea of those that are far from him, those that are walking, and as well those that go a-whoring from thee, the idea of those that would wander from him. That, and of course it's not God being vindictive, it's God allowing individuals to suffer the consequences of their own choices. But we see that people don't get away with evil. That God always settles things right far better than we ever could. He holds everyone to account as needed. But then finally we see in verse 28, some of you recognized, and this is something I think, especially as we're looking into this new year, that we need to recognize too. And he says there, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." And that he needed to learn to put his trust in the Lord no matter what happened. That he would be close to the Lord and he would trust the Lord. And so we see that this is something he recognized was good for him. And I think it's something today that we want to recognize it is good for us. And so that's what I want to leave with you today, is that as we prepare for the year ahead, it is good for us to draw near to God. And there's several reasons why that's so important in facing whatever comes in this coming year. So first off, we recognize it is good for us to draw near to God because God is the only one who really knows what this next year may hold. That it's really been kind of interesting over the last little while. Actually, it's been some time now, wherever there's uncertainty of what's going to happen next, that pretty well any kind of news, news media or program will turn to their panel of experts. And these individuals will basically say what they figure is going to happen, and they have kind of their credentials given, and they lay things out. They use facts compellingly. They make their logical case. But it's kind of the thing is that so many times we find that the experts are wrong. And sometimes embarrassingly so. There's an article in Forbes magazine titled "Why Experts Always Seem to Get It Wrong." And there's just a few quotes that I just wanted to draw from that. It made the statement that a good expert is always impressive, but still usually wrong. And he says the more specialized in the field they are, the worse they performed, because they figure, I am the expert in this thing that nobody knows as much as me, but they don't see a lot of these other factors outside of that field that affect that. And it also says, those who profess to have superior powers of insight are usually just fooling themselves. And it's the thing is that we find that again and again of different things expected, different promises we have in times past, of whether it's having the Arctic ice melting and coastal areas being flooded by certain times, and so many other things that we see, that there's these predictions that are given, and when it actually comes to the time that it happens, it doesn't come to pass as they said. And so we realize that there's many that claim to be experts, many that we're told to rely upon, that prove themselves time and again to be unreliable. And that's why we see God say in Proverbs 25 verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And that's the thing, is that things don't happen as we expect. That there's always things that we do not foresee. Details we think are really unimportant that we dismiss, that end up being a crucial key in what actually happens. And so we know that only God is the one that knows the end from the beginning. Only God knows for certain what is to come to pass. And so we want to draw near to Him, because we know He's the only one that does. That we rely on all these different experts around us, and we're going to be woefully unprepared when their expert predictions are again proven wrong. And so we need to draw nigh to God. And of course, in this, I think part of our hope is well, we want God to tell us exactly what's going to happen. I think we would like to be able to serve as His prophets and tell everyone what is going to happen, so that they can look at us, wow, this person has this great insight from God on what to do. But we want to realize that, and I think there's a reason why God doesn't often do that for us, because we don't need to really know what's going to happen in order to be prepared for it. Simply, we need to follow the one who does know what's going to happen. Because as we seek His face, as we seek His will, we say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then He's going to give us direction. And we don't necessarily know why. He doesn't necessarily lay that out to us. But He doesn't really need to many times. And He can impress upon us, this is something I want you to do. And then you get into a situation and you find, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting this, but this is, God has made me ready for that. And that's the amazing thing that we can really find with God, is that if we have been following God, then all that we need for what's coming is already going to be provided for. that, and sometimes it can be miraculously something that we've overlooked, that God says, what is that in your hand? And you said, well, listen, I don't think it means anything, but okay, now I want you to use that in order to meet this need. And it's an amazing thing to see, but that's what God does, is that if we draw nigh to Him, if we're following Him, even though we don't know where He's leading us necessarily, that whatever happens, we're going to be ready. That He is our shepherd, and He's leading us into green pastures. He's leading us beside the still waters. Sometimes He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't need to fear any evil because He's with us. That He can prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And so we don't have to fear. And it's the thing, if we draw nigh to Him, if we follow Him, He's going to make sure that we're ready. And on the flip side, of course, if we're wandering from Him, if we're going about our own way, if we're not listening or following the directions He gives, then things are going to come and we're not going to be ready. And so we realize it is good for us to draw nigh to Him because He is the only one that knows what's going to happen. But secondly, it is good for us to draw near to God because He's the only one who can give us the wisdom and strength and supply to be ready to face the year ahead. And we think of it with what's happened this year. So much of what we tended to put our trust in has been knocked out from under us. Different things that we thought we could rely upon are on a very shaky foundation indeed. That there's a lot of instability in our lives, and it doesn't seem like that's going to necessarily change anytime soon. But through all of this instability, we know God is still the same. That He hasn't changed, that He is our rock. He is that one constant when we have a world in which everything has become variable. And we see what Paul declared in Philippians 4 verse 19. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And that's the thing, is that God is going to supply all our needs as His children. And we have various needs. We have physical needs. We have emotional needs. We have spiritual needs. But He knows our needs often more than we do. And He is ready to supply, and He is able to do so. We think of in Psalm 37, verse 25, that David declared, he says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." That's the thing, that if God can send a famine to the kingdom of Israel, but then use first ravens and then this widow woman to feed His prophet, surely He can feed us through whatever trial that we face, right? That we think of what Jesus said, that we're not to take thought of what we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. For the Father knows that we have need of these things. Instead, if we seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. And so we can be certain of that. And we have physical needs, but I think much more we have emotional and spiritual needs. And we want to realize He is able to help us. And we think that He can supply all our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that's the thing. It isn't just that He can supply out of the riches of glory that He has in heaven, but it's according to His riches. And so it's a sense that it isn't like He's going to be very miserly and it's like, oh, we need something and He's just going to give us the bare minimum. That instead we want to realize that He gives us of His abundance. And that's the thing, is that sometimes we really can kind of find that how it works, that sometimes we don't necessarily receive as much as we might expect physically, but then we see that He gives us so much more spiritually through those lean times. When we learn to trust Him, we learn to grow in Him. And it can be the sad thing is that you think of the children of Israel, how they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, They're demanding God give them more food than what he was providing, and he said he gave them their request but sent leanness into their soul. And so they got the physical, but they missed out on the spiritual. And so that's something as a challenge for us to learn, is sometimes when we see that we're getting some of the physical, but maybe not as much as we expect, we might think, well, maybe he's trying to give us much more of a spiritual blessing. And so we need to learn from that. But it is the thing, is that he is able to provide us grace for each day. As we need, he will provide. And it's that thought that we think of in the children of Israel in the wilderness, that God gave them manna, and he gave them, it didn't give them like a whole bunch that would last them for months and months. He'd only give them what they needed for the day. And that's a principle that we want to learn, that we see. That's why Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And we want to realize that physically we have needs, but spiritually we have needs. And he is able to give us what we need each day. And we need to, in many ways, especially when you think of spiritual sustenance, it's almost like every morning we need to go out and gather. We need to go and get into his word so that he can feed us spiritually what we need, so that we can face whatever's coming. And so for that to happen, that we need to be close to him. We need to be seeking him. We need to be in his word. And we need to be seeking that connection with him. We see what it says in John chapter 15 and verse number 7, where it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And that is what he's saying, that when we're close to him, that when we ask, he answers. But when we're far from him, and that's the problem, is a lot of times we're off doing our own thing, ignoring God, but then when the trouble comes, we say, Lord, help me. And then we wonder, well, what's taking you so long? And it's the thing, it's not that he's gone far away, it's that we've gone far from him. And we're oftentimes just trying to have him bail us out of our problems so that then we can go back to the same wrong things we were doing before. And sometimes he has to lovingly kind of teach us a lesson so that we learn to follow him before he restores what we're expecting to be there for us. And so it is good for us to draw near to him, so that way we know that we have that connection with him, and so there will be that steady daily supply of what we need for whatever comes in this year ahead. That it isn't something where we have to try to stockpile all these different things, that we can have the faith that as we need it, God can give it. And many times it's the thing, is that when God allows us to stockpile different things, the whole reason is because he's wanting us to then disperse it to others that are in need. And too often what we think, oh wow, I got all this for myself, where we really want to understand, no, he's giving it to us so that we can be used of him to give to others. And so that brings us to the third thought, that it is good for us to draw nigh to God, because then it places us in a position where God can use us to help others through whatever may happen. And we see that in that last verse in Psalm chapter 73, verse 28, where he says, it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. That he was drawing near to God, putting his trust in him, so that he could then be used of God in declaring God's works and what God has done. And so we want to see that if we're drawing near to God, then we're prepared for his service. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21 that Paul is talking about the need, that there's things that need to be purged from our lives. That things that prevent us from being used of the Lord as we should be. And he says in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so it's kind of the thing is that we want to be these ready vessels. That it's kind of, I know when, say if you're canning, right, that it's one of the things you do in preparation is you get all your jars, you get all your rings, you get all your jar lids. And a lot of times what you do is you wash them out, you may even sterilize them, right? So that way that they're ready. Because if you're putting that jam in, you don't want to put it in a jar that's dirty, it's got mold in it, right? That'll ruin your whole batch of jam. You want to make sure it's clean so it's ready to be used. And it's the same with us. If God wants to do that, He wants to pour Himself in us so that we can be poured out to others, right? And so we need to be ready. There's things that have to be purged out of our lives so that we're prepared for every good work. And we see in Titus chapter 2, it speaks of God's whole plan and purpose for us, that He it says that of our Savior Jesus Christ, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So that's the point of His redemptive work. Not just to save us from the penalty of sin, not just simply to cleanse us from sin, but it's so that we could become this peculiar people that are zealous of good works, that are doing things for others. And so then we see in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Titus, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And so that's kind of the thing when we think of it. We want to be prepared for the coming year. We want to be ready for the coming year. And so part of that is we want to be ready to do His good works in the coming year to those around us. That's really the perspective that we want to learn to have. And it's the thing, if we're not near to Him, if we're not in tune with Him, if we're self-absorbed and not thinking of what He has that's going on around us, we're going to miss out on those opportunities to do good for Him. And really, there's a lot of people struggling, and in many ways, they're looking to us as believers as what hope can we have in this situation? And if we're overwhelmed by worry or anger or other things, then how's that going to help them, right? But instead, when we can have joy in the midst of trying circumstances, they can see that we have hope, that we're able to kind of see that there's something good in this, and we can give that hope and share that with others. That's going to make a big difference. And so for that to happen, we have to draw an eye. We think of Philip, when he was in Samaria and he was being used for the Lord, but he was directed by God, you need to go out into the desert. And that one made a lot of sense, because he's working in Samaria, people are coming to know the Lord, he's discipling them. Why would I go to the middle of nowhere? But he did that. He obeyed. And then as he's walking along the side of the road, and probably just wondering, okay, why am I here? Then he sees this dust cloud coming, and here's this chariot coming. And the Lord says, go join yourself to the chariot. And he walks up, and here's this Ethiopian eunuch that he's got a scroll of Isaiah, and he's reading from Isaiah 53 about this one who was wounded for our transgressions, and he is reading that, and it didn't make any sense to him. And just at that time that Philip comes up, sees that he's reading, he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, well, how can I except someone guide me? And so in that moment, it just realizing God put him in a certain place at a certain time to help this person that was seeking but needed help in finding. And because Philip was close to the Lord, because he was listening to the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, he was ready to help this person that needed the help. And so that's the same with us, that God wants to use us in this coming year to help those around us. And so we need to be ready. And so to do that, we need to draw near to Him. But finally, I think we want to recognize it is good for us to draw nigh to God so that if He comes again or He calls us home, we are ready to stand before Him. We think of what it speaks of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it promises of this idea that if we this earthly temple be dissolved, we have this house made without hands eternal in the heavens. This idea that and the whole thought that if we're absent from the body, we're going to be instantly present with the Lord. But it says there in verse 10 of that passage, it says, therefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And that's the thing, is that we serve Him so that we're ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we're ready to give an account. We're not ashamed of the life that we've lived, that we've served the Lord faithfully. And if we're drawing nigh, if we're doing what we should be doing, if we're helping others as He calls us, then we can know that we're going to be accepted of Him. That He's not going to call us a wicked and slothful servant. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we see that Matthew chapter 24. He says, therefore be also ready, for in such a time as... otherwise, you think not the Son of Man cometh, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler of his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And that's what we want to be found doing, His will. And you think of, in the chapter following, the parable of the 10 virgins, where there were 5 that were prepared, and then there were 5 that weren't. And it is... thing to show us is that we need to be ready. And so if it's kind of the thought that we need to draw nigh to God so that we're ready to when we stand before Him. And if we are near, we have nothing to fear. If we're far from Him, if we're not following Him, if we're going our own way, then if He comes again, and it could be this year, even today, that He comes again, if we're ashamed at His coming, is because we've been wandering from Him, and we need to come closer to Him again and renew our lives and follow Him as we should. And so we don't know what's coming in this year of 2021 that's ahead of us, but we can be ready for it. We can prepare ourselves, and it comes as we draw near to God. He has all that we need. He can help us. He can guide us. And He can strengthen us. And so for us, it is not time for us to delay, that we realize that we're soon going to be on the next year, and we need to draw nigh to Him so He'll draw nigh to us. We need to ready ourselves. We need to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord so that we will be prepared for whatever the coming year may bring. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your word. We thank You for the love You have for us, the help You want to give us. Lord, we just pray we're in Your hands, and we just pray that You would help us. We are prone to wander. Just help us to lean on You, trust in You, and draw near to You that You might use us in the year ahead. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we close, we're going to sing one more song. That's number 10. O God, our help in ages past, hymn number 10. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of Thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is Thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting Thou art God, to endless years the same. O God, Preston, can you dismiss in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the message, Lord, for this reminder as we go into this year. Lord, that we would seek you first, and that you would guide us in the year to come, and that we would rely on our own strength, but we rely on you. So, Lord, we pray for each one, and we can give safety to the home day.
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.